Thanks for listening to the Last Days podcast with Dr. Todd and Katie Holmes. To stay connected, please check out the River of Tri-Cities Church on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, or online at riverofTriCities.com. The Last Days podcast can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, here's Dr. Todd and Katie Holmes.
Hello and welcome to the Last Days podcast. I'm Todd and my wonderful wife, Katie, is sitting here beside me.
Hello there.
And we're so excited to be here with you. Glad that you are listening.
Yes.
And hopefully you'll let somebody else know that the podcast has dropped and you need to be listening. So anyway, as you're listening to this, text somebody. Let them know that they need to quickly flip over to the Last Days podcast and give it a listen as they're going about their mundane daily activities. Hopefully you don't have a bunch of mundane activities. Hopefully your
That's
life
true.
Is exciting.
Yes.
And you need to have an exciting life. You know, if you don't have an exciting life, you know, we're going to be talking, this kind of sets things up actually. Wonderful. We're going to be talking to singles today and kind of giving you some food for thought here today. And anyway, if you are not single, don't turn it off if you're married, because listen to this, because this will help you in helping singles or help you to say, hey, to somebody that is single, why don't you give this listen, this podcast a listen to here and everything like that, because it might help them out.
I no doubt that there'll be things that you can apply actually in your own life.
Oh my gosh.
Because you know,
we Absolutely.
Very much obviously follow the Holy Ghost.
You're a human.
Yeah, but experience. It's awesome that we don't have just even our own lives to draw from and share stories from, but, you know, through all the different, you know, things that we've done through the years in ministry, of course, it's all about working with people. So, you know, we draw a lot of stories from, you know, different ones that we have.
Occasionally we do work with people.
Counseled and yeah. all different types of things, you know.
There you go.
So
yeah. we're gonna dive on into it, but I was already saying something about, you know,
yeah, don't
you
be
need
boring,
to,
basically.
Yeah,
yes.
you can't be a boring person if you're single. So this is like,
Adventure.
I'm single and I don't want to be. Why? All right? I'm single and don't want to be. Why? Not why don't I want to be, but
why am I
single
still?
And I mean, you know, and you've got to face some things. You've got to look at some things in a great way. And so one of those things is, and we're encouraging you, live an exciting life. If you have a
absolutely.
Mundane life, you know, I mean, that's not going to attract anybody. Okay. Nobody's looking for mundane.
Right.
All right. Nobody's looking for somebody that's, you know, that is already in the trench.
Somebody that's depressed.
Yeah.
Somebody that has nothing going for them. And the awesome thing is that even if you are that way, that Jesus, the creator of the universe, lives on the inside of you, and literally the Holy Spirit's the most creative person that there is. And so actually will help you, set you free,
Amen.
And fill you with joy. And everybody likes to be around people that are happy.
Yeah, and friendly people are
yes.
what get friends.
That's true.
Not unfriendly people. If you're a grouchy person, stop it. Just stop
yeah,
it.
Yeah, whether you're single or married,
Change
don't
it.
Be that way.
No, amen. You know, you don't want a crotchety spouse either.
Yeah.
So if you are that crotchety spouse, knock it off, Karen. Okay, or Kevin, or whatever you are, and stop being that way. Stop being a griper
Don't
and a complainer. And some
and
people
salty.
Are. Some people were, you know, were really nice when they were single. Then they got married. It was like that one story
yes.
that Pastor Rodney tells that the lady that she got the joy
back in 39.
Yeah, I got the joy back in 1939. And haven't had it since. He goes, what happened in 39? I got married. And so,
oh, no.
you know, hopefully
she
your marriage
married
doesn't
still. Cranky person.
Well, but yeah, I mean, sometimes people just, well, I've got a lot written down here. We'll get into all of it. It'll be more than just one podcast. I'm sure of that here. Because
sure.
we're going for it in this one here.
And then you can give us some feedback. You might have some things you can
yeah.
add to this as well.
We would love
that.
So give
that. Us a follow, you know,
we,
on
we
Instagram.
Would love that. Yeah.
Last Days Podcast or us personally, Todd or Katie Holmes. And, you know,
shoot us some information. Yeah. That'd be great. You can email me, Pastor Todd at rtcc.life. That's Pastor Todd at rtcc.life. Or you could go to Pastor Katie at rtcc.life.
Katie.
Yes, Katie. Todd, Todd. It's two D's,
no.
by the way.
I was going to say many people.
Just thought I'd let you know there, okay? I have people that have been like here in the church for like 2 years. It's still TOD. It's like,
or it's well, Tood.
Do you not read?
TOOD.
Tood. Hello, Pastor or Toad in India. Yes. Toad. Hello, are you Toad? No, I'm Todd.
No, I'm a frog.
That's what
no,
I said. Ribbit. That's what I ought to respond. Ribbit. Hey, are you Toad? Ribbit. Okay. Oh, so anyway, sorry, just having fun at your own expense, your poor ears. Bless your hearts. Okay. Anyway, I'm single and don't want to be. Why? Because you're a frog. Don't kiss frogs.
Which, by the way, okay. we were older than when we got married. So there's my hope wife for was. Everybody.
She was. She was.
I was
getting
not as old,
old
as you. Still not.
She's catching up. No. No, it's true. I was almost 35, 1 month short of being 35 years old.
Yeah.
When we got married.
I was 27.
An oldie goldie.
He always says he had to wait for me to grow
up. I did have to get her growed up. Growed up. And so.
You had to wait for me to get saved.
Yeah. So she's 7 years younger than I am. And it's worked out well. I mean, if I would have been like 20 years old, that would have not been good. That would have been like, people yeah. would have gone like,
you would have been you a total creeper and put in jail.
Yeah, absolutely. It would have been illegal.
Yeah, which and by the way, it still should old. Be.
Okay, it should be that I married you?
No,
should be
it
illegal.
Should be illegal for 20 and 13-year-olds.
Oh, yeah, you know? Yeah, no. But I'm saying yeah. that once you grow up, you got to mature and everything
right.
like that.
That's
and
true.
So if you are like 21, don't be looking at a 14-year-old, okay? And so you 21-year-old girls, keep your eyes off my 14-year-old son, even though he's taller
oh
than you.
Gosh.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, gross.
So, no, I'm not. I'm serious. I'm seriously kidding. Anyway, but anyway. So why am I single? I don't want to be. And so let's just say that you're not in your early 20s. Okay. Because, you know, you get people, you know, they're 18, 19, mm-hmm. 20, 21. They begin thinking about marriage, contemplating, looking at people mm-hmm. seriously. And let's just say you're not in your early 20s, but you're single and you don't want to be single. Why is that? So, number one on the list, take a serious look at why you're single, okay? And this is an important
thing.
And
we right now are going to help you take that serious look.
We're
going to
help you take a very serious look yes. at your life here. And because if you want, if you're like, okay, I'm single, why am I single? And since I was, well, before we got engaged, 34 years old when uh-huh. we got engaged. Yeah. And so, you know, I had to, you know, like look at things, you know, what, who am I looking at marrying here and everything like that. And what's going on. But honestly, I was extremely focused in ministry and actually in a pastoral position. And so wanting to be very careful that what I did not adversely affect our church. Funny story, because a couple times when I was single, I actually got up in front of our church and made an announcement that anyone who was there who thought that they were there because they thought they were called to be my wife and everything, that they were wrong and that I was not going to marry anyone that was there. And so basically, you know, you don't need to continue to be here. It's a waste of your time and you're here for the wrong reason. And so, I did that two times on a Sunday morning and,
because of some attention you were receiving.
Well, yeah, it was just, it was not good. It was not good at all. And I was focused. I wanted somebody that had, you know, we were going down the same path. And the thing was, is that I was running fast. I know what God had put in my heart, that he would give me a wife that would be with me. But that wasn't my primary objective to get married. My primary objective was to do what God had called me to do. And then God brought me this wonderful, wonderful wife that I have and just astounded me with her and same desires, same goals. you know, we're different as far as man and woman, but we have a lot of commonalities right. in our lives. Mm-hmm. And it's not difficult for us to get along with each other. We don't fight a bunch or anything like that. Because there's our lives are, there's a lot of commonalities. We like to do, you know, a lot of the same things. She might tell me, she might say that I'm a little more spontaneous than her. And maybe in some ways I am, but I actually do a fair amount of planning. And as far as like my days and things like that, and
oh, that is
so
true.
I calculate things very You're much. My days organized. Are planned out. Mm-hmm. I'm very calculated structured. And structured. That's mm-hmm. a good word. I'm very structured in my life. Mm-hmm. And because I have so much to get done every single day. And I know people sometimes they call up, hey, you know, can you do this? Can you do that? And I was like, maybe next week. Because I've got things very structured so that I can accomplish things. And there's like always a ton to get done. But a lot of times, maybe look at your life and as a single person and see why am I still single and I don't want to be. And that is like, that is a focus of mine. It bothers me mm-hmm. that I am single.
Mm-hmm. I think that, if you have a friend that will be honest with you, or maybe it might be a family member, you know, someone that knows you, that loves you, they're not just trying to be like critical or anything like that, but they could actually give you some honest feedback. And I think until you're willing to just, you know, lay it, just be open about stuff, you know, and just lay it all out there, you're probably not going to actually realize, you know, there's probably a few different things that are actually holding you back.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, a lot of times people, they won't even go to the Holy Spirit about these things. You know, because they don't really make a connection with God, or they're not just like real and open. It's like they're just religious in their relationship with the Lord. But the Holy Spirit will also show you things, and they're probably actually the Holy Spirit has tried to show you a couple things, and you might have just brushed it off. Sometimes people think, okay, well, that's not really that big a deal. You know, you hear that a lot, like, well, you know, if you actually would be a little more friendly, or if you actually would push out of a comfort zone, or for instance, you know, obviously most of our audience, you know, listening, they're churchgoers and things like that. So, you know, even if you tell people like, hey, why don't you make a, you know, yourself, you know, available actually for friendships, available for people to talk to you after service. Why do you come in late and then you leave immediately? Or, you know, you're intentionally like, you know, the vibe that you give off is just that you don't want anybody around you. Like you don't smile a lot. You're, you know, those kind of things, you know, those are actually very simple fixes. But a lot of times people are like, oh, well, it doesn't matter. You know, because oftentimes people have this idea that the way that God is going to bring their spouse is going to be like so supernatural that like you had no part to play in it. And that's just really actually not true at all.
Very true.
You know, very because, not true. You know, people just aren't like, you know, relationships with people, the way that they develop is actually just in very like natural ways. They're not like, you know, it's not that the Lord doesn't have divine connections in our life, but they still happen in natural ways. Like somebody else introduces you to someone else or, you know, whatever. So you have to recognize that you have to be able to step out in a way that you haven't currently, right? You've got to be able to do something different in order to attain something different. If it was just going to happen, it would have already happened, right? So again, this applies to like every area of increase in our life that you're going to, you know, if you're just like, a lot of people just take the thing of like waiting and don't do anything. Well, that's not even how faith works. That's not how anything works. You know, if you want to get something or attain something, there's going to have to be some forward motion, you know, effort on your part. But again, you know, be willing to just lay it all before the Holy Spirit. And then, you know, also reach out to, you know, like a best friend, just go, you know, what, just give me some feedback here. What do you see in my life? What are possible things that could be holding me back?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Holy Spirit will reveal things about to you inwardly about, you know, you gotta change, you know, these things here. But sometimes a friend is going to be your best help.
Yeah, and a lot of times, yeah, and you have to be open to receive this.
Faithful are the wounds of a friend.
Right, because like, you know, if you had a brother or sister or whatever, likely they're just going to give you a super straight up answer that you might not want to hear, but I bet there's a lot of truth in that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know you, you know, better than anybody else, and they've seen like the pattern of your life and that kind of thing.
Absolutely. So, you know, you need to be honest and consider some things. And some things you might think that, well, it's not, you know, it's not every, not, nobody really knows, you know, whatever. But, you know, people notice things and people pick things up. And maybe you think people misread you. And so if people you think are constantly misreading you, then honestly, you need to do something so they don't misread you.
Right.
Because you're not obvious enough or intentional enough or
you're
whatever.
You're definitely not an open book, because an open book is easy to read.
Absolutely. I've told the story a few times of, you know, this one lady that was in Tulsa, that on the outside she was like perfectly made up, looked really great, nice personality, very, very ladylike and everything like this. And she was in her 30s. Now she did live with her mom and kind of take care of her mom some. And so that might've been a little bit of a setback there in some ways. But you know, it seemed like, you know, carried on great conversations, you know, easygoing, nice looking. I was wondering, like, why isn't this girl married? I haven't any clue. And then one day as I was walking through the church parking lot, I passed her car. Oh, actually, my car was parked next to hers. And I went to get in, and I just glanced over into her back seat. And I saw that in nearly the entire back seat was filled with garbage. I'm not talking about some garbage bags because she was heading to the dumpster. I'm talking about loose garbage. It's like everything she had eaten at fast food restaurants had just been thrown in her back seat for like a year. And I mean, it was just like nasty. And I was like, you know what? If I ever saw that, that would be like an immediate turnoff, thinking like, oh my gosh, you know, so what's her home look like? And, you know, what kind of a person is she? And she might say, well, you know, you misread me. I just haven't had time. I've been so busy. Well, you know what? This is a priority. Take time to clean up. Okay. You know, if something's always a mess, then you have to make some time, prioritize some time to change some things. And so, you know, you just have to. And, you know, ladies, you might say, well, you know, nobody's ever looking at me. And they might say, well, you know, you don't come across as attractive in the way you look.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I'm busy. I don't have time to put on makeup. Well, you know what? Then you're probably too busy to be married. Because your husband is going to want to say, you know what? I know you're busy, but still, you know, can you paint the barn? I mean, it's just something that you have to do. And so there's some things that you have to just consider. What is it? And taking a serious look at why I'm single. Ask somebody.
I remember I was traveling, you know, after I went to Bible school, then I started working for Dr. Debbie Rich. Many of you are aware of that. And so I was on the road, you know, traveling with her, and we were literally in a different country, different state, you know, every week or every 2 weeks. You know, I mean, it was a fairly intense schedule. We would go home some, you know, to kind of like rest and repack and do some office stuff and everything, and then back on the road again. So in the natural, to try to have, you know, a relationship, you know, how are you even going to do that, right? And so anyway, I remember one time going home to Montana, because that's where I'm from, and I went to visit my grandma who was in the nursing home. Now, this, you never met this grandma.
No,
talked
I didn't
to my
meet,
husband, but
I didn't meet the other.
Neither
did you listening.
Yeah, and she was a bit of a cranky lady, especially as I got, you know, older. Anyway, and so at this point, I'm thinking I must have been about maybe, I don't know, 25 ish, something like that, and so I go home and I'm like, hey, grandma, you know, going to talk with her and, you know, and everything. And of course, I've been traveling, you know, so I'm on the road. And so she says to me, she goes, so do you have a boyfriend? And I was like, no, I don't. And she goes, what's wrong with you? And I was like, oh my gosh, my grandma, even my grandma thinks that something is wrong with me because I don't have a boyfriend. But, you know, in my mind, you know, but it actually got me, you know, started thinking on something, because, you know, it was easy for, and it wasn't that I didn't want a boyfriend or didn't want to get married, but it was just, I was like, Lord, I know that I'm definitely doing what you've called me to do. And I mean, and I'm loving it. And I want to get married. I don't want to stop doing this, but more important besides that I love this is, like, I really feel like this is what, you know, I'm supposed to be doing, what you have for me to be doing. But I realized that I just had to up my faith in that area of, like, okay, because it's too easy to give the excuse. And I actually didn't feel like I was so much giving an excuse. I thought, this is a truthful thing. Like, well, like, how am I going to have a relationship, get a boyfriend or anything, even if I wanted to, when I'm like literally in a different state or a different country, you know, every week? I mean, what am I going to have, like, some super long distance relationship? Like, in my mind, there was no way that this was going to work. And so, but even just her challenging me on that, even though I was like, well, you know, at that time, you know, I mean, thankfully I was able to pray with her before, you know, she passed away, but I mean, she wasn't even saved, you know. Oh, I go, okay, well, she's clearly not gonna, you know, understand this, you know. I mean, because, you know, at some points, you know, some of my unsaved, you know, family and stuff is like, okay, well, like, we get that you're, like, you know, doing this for the Lord and everything, but what are you gonna be, like, some old maid missionary lady? Like, sometime maybe you should just, like, you know, just, like, you know, get a normal job and so that you can get married and stuff, you know. So, but it actually caused me to be like, okay, Lord, I'm doing exactly what you have called me to do. So therefore, I thank you that you're going to provide a husband for me, because it's actually not my job to go find him. It's your job to provide him.
A man finds a wife.
Right.
You got to look for
and
it, guys.
Which I do think part of the problem sometimes these days is that I don't know if men don't have enough testosterone, or they just sit back and just be like, well, hey, you know, they don't, like, pursue. Men are actually created to pursue.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the reasons actually why
eating
you
too
have
too many chicken
actually,
nuggets from McDonald's.
Yeah. Or soy. You know, yeah. It's
no,
like
those
really
things,
actually,
they've got estrogen,
you know,
in them, and they're taking your manhood away.
And, but anyway, I, you
you're
know,
developing
I just really,
boobs.
Man,
stop
boobs.
It. Man, boobs.
Boobs. With your MERS.
It's not just me that says it. Pastor Jennifer also says it down in Florida.
But it is true, though, that, like, there are many things these days. But anyway, that's not the point of the whole thing. But it is actually that
It might be that actually
but some guys don't realize that, though, that they are supposed to be the pursuer.
You are 100%.
You know, and ladies, you're that's not your place. But let me just say, like, don't run from the guy. I mean, some ladies are just like, they just, you know, well,
they play we'll be, too hard to get.
They do. They, yeah. Anyway,
that's getting in number three.
Yeah, it is. So, I'll finish my little story and we can move on,
yeah,
I guess.
Go ahead.
Anyway, but honestly, her just even saying that, you know, And of course, my response to her was like, well, you know, Grandma, I am like traveling all the time. It's a little bit hard to, you know, have a relationship, but I do know that I'm going to get married, you know? And she was like, well, you know, you better not wait too long, you know, which, I mean, that was all good advice.
Yeah, that was good advice.
But anyway, I did really just take it to the Lord and go, okay, Lord, you know, I do want to get married. And I know that that is your plan. And I know that's a desire put there by you. And so if I need to adjust doing anything, then I'm willing to do whatever. Lord, I'm just fully sold out to whatever your plan is. And Lord, I know because of my prayers already, even that you're going to provide someone for me that is in full-time ministry. And, you know, I had certain things that I desired in a husband, not like a majorly long list or anything, but at the number one top of the list was a man that would be hungry for God all the days of his life. Because I knew that if that was the case, that he would be pursuing God and the call of God upon his life all the days of his life. Because I knew that was in my heart to do. Like, I fully sold out to God. When I said, God, either you're real or you're not. If you're real, I want all of you. And if you're not, well, I'll just go back to, you know, college partying and doing my own thing in life, you know? And so I was like, made that decision. And I've never backed down from that. I'm not saying that different times you don't have to challenge yourself to, you know, really pursue God and let things go and get hungry for God and everything. But I really have never let go of that. Like, the fire of God burns Amen. In me. And I just determined that. But anyway, so my desire is to have somebody like that as well, you know, above, you know, what they might look like, above, you know, different things. I just said, you know, and I trusted the Lord, you're going to give me someone that, you know, is right for me, and I'm right for him. It's got to be a great, you know, it's got to be a huge benefit for the two of us, not just for one of us. Right. Mm-hmm. But even my grandmother challenging me kind of on that, you know, it caused me to really focus my faith and to really just put it out that, Lord, you know, unless you tell me to do anything different, I mean, I'm like flat out pursuing you and I'm loving it. And I just thank you, Father, that somehow that even I can't figure it out, but somehow that you're going to bring this man, somehow this relationship is going to work. And that's actually exactly what happened. And we did end up having a long distance relationship until we got engaged. And then we recognized and made the decision, once we're engaged, we need to be able to be in the same city and be able to, you know, see each other on a daily basis and make sure that we're actually ready to get married and have premarital counseling and properly know each other before we enter into, you know, being married, so that we both go in with eyes wide open, know exactly what we're getting into, and are we willing and are we happy with that, and do we still feel like this is a person that, you know, I definitely want to spend the rest of my life with, and that I myself can commit to this person everything in my life. Am I willing to come, you know, to that point? So anyway, we fully covered number one.
Yeah, we did. And that's, wow. Also very true. As you were talking there, let me insert something that has nothing to do with any of our points here and everything, but I think it's very important because we don't have just single people that are listening to this podcast. We have married people, and we have younger people, we have older people, middle-aged mm-hmm. people, and everything like right. that. And let me just say this to those who have children. Do not stand in the way of your child growing up and becoming an adult and actually finding a mate. Okay?
Great advice.
Do not do that. I rebuke you. Okay? Let them follow the plan that God has for their life, and don't try to steer them in every way.
Right.
Trust the Holy Ghost. Your job as a parent was to, when they were young, to teach them and to train them in the ways that they should go. They don't have to hold your hand till they're 50 years old. Mm-hmm. Okay. And they shouldn't be, you know, you shouldn't say, oh yeah, don't ever leave home. No. Encourage them to do whatever is going to cause their life to thrive. Okay. The second thing that we're talking about here, I'm single and I don't want to be, why? Second thing is waiting to go big with their life until they're married. If you're single, don't wait to go big with your life. Mm-hmm. Do it now.
Right.
Just take steps now. And if you have, oh, I know I might get some flack from this from some parents, but if you have parents that are trying to holding you back and saying, you know, you need to, don't do that. Don't get a job. Don't get a driver's license. No. Let them grow up. And so if you're in some repressive household, get out. Okay. Get a job. Listen to me. Get a job. If you don't have a job, you need to get a job.
Right.
You say, well, I'm a lady. Get a job. Okay.
Right.
I'm a guy. Get a job. I'm only 18. Get a job. You should have already had a job.
Right.
Learn how to work.
Right.
Okay. And so get a job and learn how to work. Get a license so you can drive. Buy a car.
Yes.
Okay. So you can get around and you can be independent. Now, these are some of the very basics here. All right. Because how can you go big if you can't get out of your house?
Okay,
and
point.
I'm serious. I'm just shocked at some people. It's just like, oh, I want to do all these things for God. Okay. Well, let's just look at some things in the natural, you know? Okay. So you're stuck at home and you rely upon your parents to take you everywhere. Okay. That shouldn't be, people. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so it's time to, now I'm not talking, if you're 16, stay at home. 17, stay at home. Mm-hmm. 18, well, you know what? If you've graduated from high school and you've got some good, you know, some good skills and you can manage things by yourself, you might start thinking about, you know, doing something on your own then. But, you know, you need to not wait until you're married to have some big plans for your life, and not just out there, but I am actually pursuing the plan that God has for my life.
Right.
Go in
Absolutely.
A direction.
Absolutely. You know, it's just, it's crazy to me these days that so much of society has really changed to just be like super complacent and just depend on everybody else instead of doing anything yourself. I mean, it's like the work ethic is lost. I mean, it's just crazy to me. But the thing is that when you get married and you join together, it should be that both of you you're healthy, you're producing in life, mm-hmm. there's fruit coming forth from your life. You know, depending obviously on what age you're getting married, you might still both be in school, in, now I don't mean high school, but you know, like college, or you're in a trade school, you're learning, you're in Bible college, whatever, that might of course be the case, but you're still actively, like you are bettering yourself, you are working, there's very much signs of diligence. The thing that, you know, is detrimental is when people are just like waiting, like, well, when I find the right person, they'll just complete me. And basically you just want to be, you know, a burden for them.
You should be in yourself, actually.
Right. It should be that you're not looking as merit, as to marriage as like a codependent relationship, or they're going to bail you out in life. Okay. That is totally not the right perspective of marriage.
Mm-mm.
Marriage is about two people that are strong and they could function very well in society, live on their own, everything like that, but they are joining up together to be like a power
couple.
They made
a decision.
Yes. Yeah.
And marriage is a decision.
Right. It is. But it's like the two of you then will help each other. You'll actually be a strength for each other. But again, you're not looking to the other one of like, oh, I can't function in life. I can't do anything in life. Can you just babysit me my whole life? Okay. That's never going to work right.
No, exactly. And let me hit on a myth also, that there's only one person in life that would ever work with you. That, you know, and God just hasn't shown me that one person. No, I don't even believe that at all, because marriage is a choice and you get to choose who you marry. Right. If God were choosing and said, this is the one that I have for you, then God would be choosing all of that for you. But that is not the case. And so I want to just, that just exploded in some people right there. There is not. You have to work at marriage, okay? There are some people absolutely that you should not marry. Why? Because they would kill you or you would kill them. Okay. And it just doesn't work at all. Mm-hmm. But I want to tell you, you, no matter who you marry, if you marry the ideal, it'll become an ordeal and then you'll be looking for a new deal. Okay. And so, you know, everybody's looking for that perfect person. You know what? If that perfect person arrived, they wouldn't be interested in you. Okay. And so there is no perfect person. Even they may look all that and everything like that. But believe me, there's things about them that have to be worked out. Every single person, I don't care who you are, you have things that can be changed, that can be worked on. I'm not talking about surgery. I'm aesthetics and stuff like that. That's not even part of this here. But I'm talking about, you know, things that people can work on to improve themselves.
Right.
And so, and you ought to, as a single person and as a married person, you ought to be improving yourself.
That's true.
Okay. Don't just get married and then just like, well, this is what they got now. You know, the better deal with it. This is all you are. No, stop it. Stop becoming a slob after you got married. Keep yourself up. Do improve yourself. Do whatever you can. That is terrible for your spouse. If you've gotten married and then you just have, you know, dropped off everything and, you know, you don't do anything to take care of yourself. You don't look good. No, that is wrong. You are wrong. You should have never gotten married. And that is so bad. But the thing is that you have to, you should understand that I'm going to find somebody who my life works together with well, mm-hmm. and that their life complements mine. It doesn't, you should be complete in yourself and not marry actually some person. Okay. So you are a complete person. The other person is a complete nut. Okay. No, that's not what you're looking for. Okay. And so I'm completely energetic. This person is completely lazy. That's not going to work either. Okay. That's that person that you'll kill. Okay. You need to find someone that, you know, their life works well with my life. I dated a few different people before I met my wife and found, you know, some interesting people. Hey, you know, you're light, you're nice, you're interesting.
You should clarify interesting ladies, not just people.
Oh, yes, interesting ladies. Yeah, that was all it was. Only ladies. And if they were not a lady, I did not even go out with them. But you know, for me to even go out with them, I didn't do that to just have something to do. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like a sport. Okay. It's just like, oh, what are you doing in life? I just find somebody to date again this week.
Yeah, right.
No, only date someone who would make a good mate. Yeah. Okay. And you know, advance, you've already kind of, you know, checked out, oh yeah, this is a solid individual. And usually I could tell, you know, by the end of the first date, whether, you know, anything was going to go any further at all. And most of them never went beyond that. And it was just like, you know, hey, wonderful to have, you know, get a Coke together or, you know, have a meal or, you know, go play some mini golf together, something like that. You're a nice person. And, yeah, no. Yeah, it's not gonna. This isn't it, and I know a lot of people they think, you know, you shouldn't hold hands or you know, any even kiss until you're married or anything like that. I did actually, and actually that helped me out one time. I remember I kissed this one girl, and I was like, that was just like kissing my sister. I was like, never again. Bye. I was like, that was it. And so when I dropped her off at her house, I was just like, well, I said, I hope you have a great week. And she says, well, I'll be hearing. Will you call me tomorrow? I said, nope. And she goes, the next day, I said, nope. I said, I don't think you're going to be hearing from me anymore. I said, but I think you're a great person. Thanks a lot for spending some time. And that was it. It was just like, no, I just knew. And that's not it. I wanted somebody that would light me up. Amen. And you ought to have some. If somebody, if you're pursuing somebody that is not exciting to you, stop it.
That you're kind of like trying to talk yourself into.
And, and if you're arguing with the person, you're always fighting with the person, do not marry
them.
That's
not good either.
Do not marry them. Right. Okay. That's not the person for you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Find somebody that you have such a wonderful time with that you really feel you can't do without anymore.
Right.
I just can't live without you. It's not that I just love you because you're pretty or, you know, you cook good. But I can't live without you. Just you. I just can't live without you. Mm-hmm. And so that's the person that you need to be with. And that's what somebody ought to be looking at when they find you. Mm-hmm. Are you the person that somebody cannot live without? Mm-hmm. Because you're just so incredible, just like, you know, every area of your life. Not that you look in the mirror and go like, whoa, I am all that and the bag of chips. No, but you have really allowed God to do a work inside of your heart. You know, you've done the best that you can with your looks, the way you look, how you communicate, all of these things, you've given it your best. Not that you just let yourself go and like, you know, it doesn't really matter what I look like. It does matter what you look like. Right. And ladies, I want to tell you this, that guys, they will look for a beautiful lady.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so don't fix yourself up to appear in a deceitful way beautiful. And then after you catch them, all of a sudden you're just like, well, surprise. This isn't going to happen. That's not it. You know, I remember there's this one girl that I was interested in, and I was young. I was, I don't know, maybe 19 years old or something like that. And I remember we had something going on, and all of a sudden I saw her, and she came, and I'd only seen her, of course, just like full-on makeup and everything mm-hmm. like that, and she came without her makeup on. I didn't recognize her. I did not even recognize her. And she started talking to me, and I was thinking, that is the voice of Jolene, but that's not the face. And it was just like really confusing. And then I realized, oh my gosh, that actually is. That is scary how much you can change that much. And I liked the makeup version. I didn't like at all the non-makeup version. And so I was like, okay, maybe that's not the one here. So, but guys, they do. They're visual. And so mm-hmm. they're going to look for that. That's what catches their attention.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not what keeps them. And remember the old proverbial saying that why buy the cow if you get the milk for free? Okay, so ladies, you can be all beautiful, but don't be beautiful just attracting them to your body and to your physical appearance, because that's just going to lead to premarital sex, which is going to start everything off way in the wrong direction. And so you want to be that, but you want to have a beautiful personality. You want to have a beautiful heart for mm-hmm. God. You want to have a beautiful work ethic. You want to have, you know, a beautiful perspective on life. All of these things really matter. And that is, I mean, the guy may not first see it, but that is the thing the guy's going to go like, whoa, you're a whole lot more than a pretty face. Mm-hmm. And then you set boundaries for yourself. Well, you know what? This is as far as things go, and you have an agreement in those relationships. You have to have boundaries.
Well,
100% have to have boundaries. Okay,
absolutely.
But kind of got off track here. But you don't wait to go big with your life until you're married.
You know, neither of us. It's just like, you know, we were both in ministry, pursuing ministry, and that was really our main thing. We didn't stop doing that in order to find each other.
I didn't take a sabbatical to go look for a wife.
And, you know, some, we've even, you know, seen people that are like, well, I can't go into ministry unless I have, you know, a spouse, and I can't do this and I can't do this or whatever. So then basically you're totally limiting God. So God's the one that gives you the call. He gives you the plan. He's the one that's going to give you the spouse, but you're telling him when he can do that and when that's going to work and when that's not. Well, then, I mean, really, are we really submitted to his will and his plan then? I mean, no, I think we just have to, you know, extend our faith, you know, and mm-hmm. understand that don't wait for things to happen, you know, mm-hmm. as far as in finding a spouse, but also don't just engage and just go, oh, well, I can't, you know, I mean, that's just, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm just too spiritual to get married.
Oh,
okay.
Lord.
Well, that's just like too flaky, really.
You are. Know? You're probably a flake then.
But the thing is that
because marriage isn't very natural. It's very natural.
Yes.
And if you don't want to have anything to do with the natural realm, do not get married. You goof. All right. I just want to have prayer meetings with my spouse all the time. Well, you know what? I want to tell you, the guy's not interested in having a prayer meeting with you all the time. All right. There's more to life than prayer meetings.
Hopefully the lady isn't either, but yeah.
I don't know.
Sometimes lady hurts.
Run across a few of them sometimes. I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, maybe if you prayed better.
Maybe if you looked better while you're praying. No, just kidding.
but don't wait to go big with your life. And then there's people who are so focused on their life that and what they are that nobody's interested in all that. You're just like... You're just like too much, you know, pursuing everything else, and you're not available.
You can't work 24/7. You just can't do that. I mean,
no, and you can't have the personality that repels somebody who is attracted to you. Mm-hmm. And then ladies, sometimes like the third thing here is kind of a twofold thing. Ladies, many times they're just too picky.
Yeah.
Way too picky. And it's usually the ladies. It's usually not so much the guys. If they occasionally find a guy that's that way. Yeah. But more along the lines of the ladies, they just get way too picky. And you're thinking, well, he has to be this, he has to be that, he has to be that. But you know what? And maybe, you know, you're just like professional level lady. and you've made yourself untouchable. I'm not talking in a physical sense, mm-hmm. but it's like you're not even relatable to anybody.
Right.
Because you haven't made yourself available to who God would have for you. And then when God brings someone along, you've got in your mind this whole big, huge thing. Well, he has to be this. He has to be that. He has to be that. Now, I've told some ladies, you know, like, yeah, no guy's going to want you.
And that person doesn't even exist.
Like, no, that person doesn't exist. No. And they think they're all that, but actually,
right, they're not.
They're not. It's in your mind.
Yeah.
It's in your mind. Ladies, it's in your mind. Guys, it's in your mind that you're all that. Because you're not. Because if you were, then you'd probably be married.
Right. That's true.
No, I'm serious. And so stop being so picky. Stop being, you know, all about yourself. And if you have problems and you know, roommates complain about you, I want to tell you, roommates, those are a great test for marriage.
That's so true.
I used to tell the students that when I was the dean. Oh, my Lord. I was like, oh, that person's bothering you. Oh, that person bothers you. And that person there that your roommate, they all bother you. Everybody bothers you. You know, I want to tell you something. Don't get married. All right?
You're the problem.
You are the issue. You're the issue because it has to be just this. This is the way it has to be when I wake up in the morning. And I was like, okay, don't get married. All right. Because the chances of you finding somebody that likes it just like you, right, exactly all the time, all these different things. Well, it has to be this way. It has to be that way. If you're a perfectionist, don't get married and stop wanting to get married. Okay. Because nobody wants to marry a perfectionist. That would drive you nuts. Okay. Oh my gosh. What a burden.
You have to be flexible for sure.
Major flexibility
in
marriage.
Which is actually a great and amazing and necessary thing really for life, but like even in ministry. I I mean, that was one of the first things the Lord started burning out of me, even just working for Pastor Debbie while I was still single. I mean, because things would change. We all of a sudden, revival broke out and we got to change the whole itinerary, which landed upon me. So I'm like, change all the hotel reservations, all the car rental, fix the product is going to the wrong place, call the church, change this, change appointments back at home. I mean, it was just like, you know, and when you're a very, you know, you're trying to be a structured, organized person, it's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Well, you're going to make a choice. We're going to go with the move of God, or are we going to go with, you know, our little calendar schedule? Okay. Well, no, she's a revivalist. So guess what? I got to adjust. But that right there has helped me tremendously, even just in ministry and in marriage as well.
Yeah.
Being able to
learn to be very flexible, very, very flexible, adaptable. Like 85% of your life should be adaptability.
Mm-hmm.
85% of your life. You can have rigidity for 15%. Okay. Otherwise, you just need to be adaptable. You need to learn how to go with the flow. You need how to work with people. You need how to work at. You need to learn how to work with different people, all kinds of different people, personalities that you don't understand. Learn to work with them. Get along with them.
Huge.
Go out of your way to work with them.
Right. Because initially it's like the people sometimes that just like so like irritate you or rub you the wrong way, or you're just like, oh, I can't stand that personality type or whatever. That's probably the exact person actually that the Lord has placed for you to work with. I'm not saying marry, but for you to work with. And the reason why is actually to rub the rough edges off of you. Not so that, you know, because you think, well, the other person needs to learn this, or they need to adapt to me, or they need to change whatever. The Lord probably has orchestrated that actually to change you.
Mm-hmm.
And until you can not, you know, be so picky and you can be flexible and all that, you're actually, it would be very difficult to be married to you.
Yeah, very true. So you can't be so picky. Stop being so picky. Mainly ladies. Part three, or point 3B, part B is, and this is mainly guys, thinking that pretty much anyone of the opposite sex that looks decent could be your mate. Okay? No, stop. The church, by the way, is not a meat market.
Yeah.
Okay? Where you just, everybody that walks in is like, oh my gosh, that's probably my mate, my spouse.
Right.
No, just calm down, okay?
I like that cut of beef right there.
Yeah, that's it. And it's like, oh, hallelujah, filet mignon. No, and so, you know, ask God to open your eyes to what is best for you.
Right.
Ask God to open your eyes to what is best for you, not just everything and everybody.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that drives people away.
Right.
Oh my gosh, it does.
That's true.
And so, you know, and again, I'm not a believer in that there's only one person for you. If you're somebody, you know, you think that's the case, you know, can you give me something that's, you know, about that shows me that's how God runs. Because God gives us choices.
Yeah, he's not the one actually marrying and living with a person. You are, you know, so you need to know. Now, definitely, of course, we believe, definitely seek the Lord. And there's definitely better choices than others. And the Holy Spirit will show you, like, if, you know, is this good? Is this, you know, are you full of peace and everything? And I'll also say that the more dynamic way or supernatural way that the Lord shows you that that's your mate, that's because the potential is that you're actually going to have a difficult time and you're going to have to go back to that sign, just like with prophecy, right? That you're going to have to be like, remind yourself, oh, that's right, this was the person that the Lord had for me. So, you know, don't be discouraged if you don't have all, but definitely follow the Holy Ghost. You need to, you know, 100% good. You never marry someone unless there is no doubt that that's what you should be doing. When you're walking down that aisle, you have no doubt whatsoever. So that takes, you got to have some time then to be able to get to know that person and everything. But the Lord will give you wisdom and he'll give you help. But I know that we're going to wrap this one up here. But, you know, you seek the Lord, but really, when you're single, you should be crying out to the Lord. Okay, Lord, what changes do I need to make so that I am ready to get married, so that I will be the person the one that I'm going to marry, I want to be what they need. Okay. A lot of times these days, it's like people view marriage as like, well, I need someone that does this for me, and they need to value me, and they need to be able to like make me feel like I'm the most important, and their focus is me. Okay. That is like the exact opposite perspective that you need to have in going into marriage. You actually go into marriage, you're going to lay your life down for the other person.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, your focus is not, well, you know, if they make me feel good and they do this for me, and that's such a selfish mindset, actually.
Yeah.
And that never works in marriage, okay? But you do need to be crying out to the Lord now, like, Lord, burn in me, make me, I need to be 100% a complete person. Father, whatever changes that need to be made in me, and Father, you show me exactly what's the best choice that you have for me, and that I would be 100% ready in and ready to be married.
Exactly. And prepare yourself for the things that are ahead.
Yeah.
For what you're wanting to do. If you're in the church, you're single and you're like, you know, hey, I'd like to get married and have a family and everything. Well, how do you work with kids? Have you ever worked in the children's ministry? That might change your mind about everything right there. But it might be actually, oh my gosh, you know what? Hey, I learned how we're working with kids, you know, that helped me. And later when I became a parent.
Right.
And, or I need to learn some skills. And maybe there's some things you can improve in yourself that, you know, would be incredible. Maybe you meet somebody in that area because it's not an area of maybe what you're initially drawn to, but maybe actually you might run into your spouse in that area. Because if you think it's just somebody that is exactly like you, it's probably not going to be that. And don't be looking for like, you know, somebody that's just perfect in every way. I married my wife and actually I wanted somebody that would be my wife. It's like, well, you know, what kind of a list do you have? She has to be able to do this, has to be able to do that and everything like that. No, I didn't have that. You know, when I was younger, I did. I had these ideas and had these thoughts and, you know, hey, kind of a mental list, you know, it's got to check off all this, has to be like this, has to look like this, has to talk like this, has to do all of these things. But then I was realizing that, you know what, I just want somebody that will be with me, that will support me, that will help me. My wife is my helpmate. And so when we got married, she's like an amazing, amazing, phenomenal cook right now. But when we got married, she had never really even cooked at all. And all of her family is warning me, you know what, she doesn't cook. I just tell you this, she doesn't.
They were super concerned.
They were very concerned.
Very skinny.
I was thin. They thought I was going to be blown away with a storm. But I cooked. And I had no problem cooking. I was like, no, I said, I know how to cook.
And then I got lots of cookbooks.
Yeah, you did. Like 13 cookbooks for our wedding.
And I did start cooking right away. It's not that I hadn't ever, my mom had never taught me anything, but you know, when you're in college and then you're living in the dorm, and then I was like, went to like traveling on the road. So I literally just did not have really any opportunity to hardly cook at all.
Not at all.
But anyway.
You know, she's a phenomenal cook.
And babe, I think I was some of those things on your list that you had previously. You wanted someone who liked sports.
Yeah, this is true.
You know, yeah. I mean, it wasn't that I didn't meet any of those.
But that wasn't the primary thing.
Yes.
That's what I was saying.
Yes.
I wasn't looking and saying, okay, this person, they're not blonde, and so I won't be anything. I won't after them or anything like that. And this person doesn't like to, you know. But, you know, it was the main thing was just like, I want somebody that will, you know, just link up hands with me and we can run together.
Right.
We can do life together. We can have fun together. And so that's a huge, very, very important thing. And so anyway, I think that's enough for today.
Yes.
For this one podcast.
I'm enjoying it.
So we'll pick up here on our next podcast and talk some more reasons why people might say I'm single and I don't want to be. Why?
Yeah.
So anyway, so thanks for listening to us on
Share
the Last Days podcast.
Need it.
Yeah, absolutely. Please do it. You can just copy the link and put it out there. People need to hear this. And don't forget, make plans now to come and be a part of our spring camp meeting 2024. It's going to be absolutely wonderful starting on Easter Sunday. That is the last day of March, going all the way through April 5th. And so come be a part here in beautiful, extraordinary Johnson City. We would love to see you, love to have you. God bless you.
Love you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, this is Dr. Todd Holmes, and I want to thank you for listening to this podcast, whether it was myself or my amazing wife, Katie, maybe the two of us together. If you want to be more than just an occasional listener and desire to really stand with us as we take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this generation, go to riveroftricities.com. That's riveroftricities.com, and click on Donate to be a part of the Last Days Army of monthly partners that we're taking ground with. If you'd like to do that, I would like to send you a special gift for partnering with us. So until next time, thank you so much for listening. God bless you.